Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Thank you for checking us out this week. We know it's a busy week for all of you football fans out there as you have your conference championships this week, and we're going to do our best to cover all those games this week, all two of them. There's not a whole lot of local flair in those games, but if you're a football fan, you've got a horse in the game, whether you want to admit it or not. Everybody's got somebody they're pulling for at this point. I don't care who you are. You've got some teams you want to see in the Super Bowl. You may not like them, but there's certainly teams you don't want to see in the Super Bowl. So we'll get into that. I want to bring in my co-hosts. It's the third week in a row of 2018 that we've had a show on the air, and by God, he's joined us for all three. We don't know how we got so lucky. His name is Bryant Knox. You know his work. If you don't, please check him out on Twitter, at Bryant Knox. Check him out on Oregon Sports News. He's our contributing columnist. He's our editor. He does so many things for this site, and he's just a man of many talents. Bryant, thank you for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Casey. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, especially when there's such fantastic, you know, sports topics going on. I mean, there's always fantastic sports topics, but right now there's, you know, something that's very specifically got the eyes and the minds of all people, which we'll get into. And I think that's always a perfect time to join. So thank you for choosing me as your guest instead of, you know, the many other people who volunteer to, you know, give us free money and jump on the show. So the fact that you chose me is an honor.
Yeah, I had some kind of uncomfortable conversations with guests that were supposed to be on Dan Patrick's show, and they were trying to get on my show, and I said, I already have the guest. I don't need a guest. I have the guest. So you guys can go hang out with Dan. He's a nice guy. I like him, but, you know, his show's not my show. I'm going to have on who I have on. Bryant's the guy. Better luck next week. So you're stirring some pots out there. I don't know how you're doing it, but your name is making waves nationally, my friend.
Well, it probably has something to do with that six figure I turned down from Dan Patrick. Yeah. So he's just trying to get back now.
Well, you know, he's just flush with cash. He's trying to hand it out. But, you know, someone like you deserve at least double that. So I totally understand why you turned it down. Makes perfect sense.
I'll accept double now that you've officially offered here, you know, on record.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll get with the founder of the site and make that happen. I don't think that should be a problem.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Happy to have you. Thank you. Right. Gene, if you were at your desk, I'd tell you to cue the audience music, but, you know, maybe now that we got Bryant on board, we can afford some good interns. I don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully he's making better coffee than he did earlier, because it's awful. I had to turn to tea, which I hate tea. So thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. So, Bryant, let's get into the main course and the main event. We're all here to talk about the conference championships. Before we do, we'll do a quick recap. Last week, you came in with a screaming 2-2 record. I was at 1-3, not as high on life as you were. We picked four teams. You picked one differently than I did, and you came out again, one ahead. So you went 2-2 again. I went 1-3 again. So now I'm sitting two games behind you. So I'm just going to give you a heads up that however you pick today, I'm going to pick the opposite. So don't necessarily let that influence you, but also don't let it not influence you.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Well, and, you know, some people would say, you know, try to pick up one this week and then tie on the Super Bowl. I don't believe in that. I think that when we pick for the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, I want to know one of us is winning and the other's not. And I want that person to be me. So, all right. So last week you picked the Falcons, the Steelers, the Patriots, and the Vikings. You were successful with the Patriots and the Vikings. Obviously, the other two let you down. Whereas I picked the Falcons, Steelers, Patriots, and Saints. Thanks to the flipping Minnesota Miracle, you know, Emilio Estevez. I don't know what you've done, but the Minnesota Miracle Man strikes again. Stephon Diggs and that ridiculous catch, and then the guy that didn't tackle him because he was too busy tying his shoe or sneezing. I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't tackling. That's all that matters. And here I am with two losses to make up with two games to go, or three games to go. So the first game on the docket is the Vikings and the Eagles. And like the AFC game, the first game is Minnesota and Philadelphia. It's actually the late game on Sunday. It's going to be played at 3:40 p.m. But, you know, I think to a lot of us, that's the first game, even though it's played later, because the real matchup is going to be Jacksonville and New England. This one, I'm not so sure is going to be a two-sided affair. I'm curious your thoughts, Bryant, but this is the first time in the Super Bowl era that the number one seed has been playing at home and is the underdog going in. They're currently, the Eagles are, they're a three-point underdog. And you and I have brought up multiple times on this show that in a playoff game, that really means the oddmakers think it's a coin toss, that this is an even game. But the fact they're saying that the Eagles are the underdogs, that means something to me. They don't trust Nick Foles, and you shouldn't trust Nick Foles. It's not supposed to be super cold weather, but it's supposed to be in the 40s. I don't know who you trust in this game. Before we get into the details and the matchups, just off the top of your head, who do you like in this game?
I like hashtag Team Keenum. Give me the Vikings. Give me the Vikings all day long. I should rephrase. I don't know that I'm all in on Case Keenum, but I am definitely in on Case Keenum, whereas I don't trust Nick Foles. I think that he, just really simply put, I think that neither of them will necessarily win this game for their respective teams, but I think that Foles could end up losing for the Eagles, sure. Whereas I don't think Keenum has that floor potential, and so that's why I'm going Minnesota in this one.
Well, for the record, you could be the first person to say out loud, I'm going all in on Case Keenum, because I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
Hey, I'm a pioneer.
He is married, so his wife probably did say that, but other than her, you might be the only one that said that out loud.
Even she might have been like, yeah, this works.
is there another option? You know, they're like, is Bradford healthy?
I do.
Yeah. I think that the Vikings are the team to pick in this one. I like the Vikings. I would like them more if they were at home, but I think they've got a good enough defense and a good enough running game that even if Keenum struggles to push the ball down the field, that they can still win this game with defense and running. Whereas the Eagles, I think they're going to get turned into a one-dimensional team, but we'll go over that. So the first matchup we need to go over is Case Keenum versus the Jim Schwartz defense. Jim Schwartz is known for sending a variety of exotic blitz packages after quarterbacks. He's known for trying to shut down the run, shut down the pass, make you figure out where the rush is coming from, how it's coming, if he's going to blitz. You know, he gets in your head. Do you think that Case Keenum is going to be able to survive that and really put up good numbers in this game? I mean, it's good conditions. It's only 40 degrees, supposed to be clear. Not going to be super cold, not going to be, you know, super hot either. They're not expecting rain. So this could be a good Keenum game. Do you see that happening, or do you think Jim Schwartz is going to be able to shut him down and make them prove it with the run and winning on defense?
You know, I'll answer this question, and I have a gut feeling I may also be answering your next question or a question coming down the line as well. But I do trust Keenum against the opposing defense, only because I trust him more than Nick Foles against the Vikings defense. I think that yards are going to be hard to come by on the ground for both teams. I think that this is a situation where it's going to be kind of a slog of a game. They're both going to try to get their running attacks going, but I think both defenses know that coming in. And so with both defenses knowing that, of course, both offensive coordinators are going to have to adjust, and I think that Keenum is more built to adjust to the Eagles' defense than vice versa.
I would agree with that, and I also think that Atlanta was a little bit overzealous, thinking that they could come in off after beating the Rams and do the same thing to the Eagles, and they got punched in the mouth a couple times, and they just couldn't quite convert. I mean, they had a couple chances late in the game to steal one, and they just couldn't do it. I don't know if that was the play calling. I mean, Matt Ryan looked a little off. It also seemed like the Eagles just really wanted this one. So I could see that coming down to the same kind of play this week with Minnesota maybe trailing late in the game and needing a touchdown to seal it. We know they struggled late in the game against New Orleans, so that could happen again.
I completely agree. And, you know, the fact is Keenum has been known to throw downfield. And part of that is because he has two, you know, sort of speed demons on each side of him. Diggs included, who obviously made the biggest play of the entire season, you could argue,
right,
last weekend across the entire league. And so I think that, you know, as both teams struggled to establish a run game, I think Keenum and the Vikings' approach is just more used to throwing downfield and looking for deep threats. And that is going to open up a lot for them that I just don't see Philly opening up in this one.
Well, and you also have to take into account that Atlanta obviously has Julio Jones. That's a big part of their offense. You can't necessarily make the same argument that Diggs is a big part of this offense. He's a big part of it, but not a Julio Jones big. So I don't know that the Eagles will key on him. They'll have to look at everybody. And I think that actually helps Case Keenum because he'll be able to spread the ball around because Minnesota is used to doing that anyway. He likes to throw to Diggs, but he also likes to throw to Adam Thielen. He likes to throw to Kyle Rudolph. He likes to throw to Jerick McKinnon. He has options. He doesn't need to key on one guy. But let's say the passing game is working on some level. Can Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon get the running game going against the Eagles to make this work, or is Keenum going to be throwing a lot?
I think there'll be a lot of throws. You know, I'd like to say that the passing game, I'd like to say that it'll come full circle, that they will try to run, they'll be stopped on the run, they being both teams. They'll try to run, they'll be stopped in the running game, they'll turn to the passing game, find success, and then that will 360 open up the running game. But I really just don't see that happening. You're right. Diggs is not the same kind of regular threat that Julio Jones is, but Diggs is a big play threat as needed. And so I really do think that they're going to turn to the air and they're going to stay in the air. And the team that can do that more efficiently will come across with the win.
So then on the opposite side of the field, you have Nick Foles going against the Minnesota pass defense, who you mentioned will probably have a long day. I would agree with that. I think Foles definitely has a cannon for a right arm. I don't see him as a surgeon. I mean, neither of these guys are surgeons, let's be honest. But I think if I had to put my money in one bank, whether it's the Case Keenum Bank or the Nick Foles Bank and Trust, I think I'd definitely put it in the Case Keenum Bank. Even if Keenum was on the opposite side facing this Vikings defense, I just feel like I've seen more from him consistently that he can. It's like you mentioned that he doesn't give you that nervous factor that you're worried he's going to lose you the game. Whereas with Foles, you feel like if he's not tossing five or six touchdowns, he's probably losing you the game because he's probably struggling. And I think against this Minnesota pass rush and pass defense, he's going to struggle. Do you think he can keep it close, or do you think Minnesota will run away with this one?
I don't think Minnesota is going to run away with it, but I think that the biggest sort of fundamental issue for Foles is going to be that he's not going to have enough time to get comfortable in the pocket. I think this is really going to come down to how efficient can he be getting rid of the ball quickly, which means that he's going to find success in the dink and dunk game here, because I think that he'll be able to utilize some of his weapons in the short game. But whereas I like Minnesota and Case Keenum to take shots downfield and really open things up that way, I don't think Foles is going to have time to do that. And I don't trust him to create time to do that.
So we've kind of left out a big detail that Minnesota's playing with the potential to be the first team to host the Super Bowl ever. Does that get into their heads at all in this? I mean, do they come in a little overconfident and maybe a little exhausted after that Minnesota victory last week that pulled with the Diggs pulling off the miracle at the end of the game? Maybe come out a little rusty and get behind early and then struggle? Or is this one where they come out, they're dedicated to the cause at hand, and they take care of business?
I'd like to think that they can ignore all of that, but how jazzed they were at the end of last game. And now, obviously, the game was decided. You know, it wasn't as if that last field goal that they ridiculously made them take had any sort of impact on the game, because it didn't. So they were already in celebration mode, which is fine. But watching them on the field in that moment makes me a little bit nervous that they already have their sights set on the Super Bowl. That said, I don't think that they'll be so unfocused that they can't put together a good defensive performance, or Keenum does, you know, have a 3-interception game. I think that they'll be fine as long as they, like I said, aren't too focused, and if they happen to go into the game focused, if they take a shot early, they can, you know, reorganize and get refocused on what's really at hand.
So you have, on one side, you have Stephon Diggs going against the Eagles secondary. On the other side, you have a pretty great matchup. You have Alshon Jeffrey, who's comparable to Julio Jones. He may not be as fast or as athletic, but he's a similar type of player. And then you have him going against Xavier Rhodes, who's arguably the best corner in the game today. How much of an impact is that going to have on this game? If you're the Eagles, do you still try to get Jeffrey involved, knowing he'll be shadowed by Rhodes, or do you take your business elsewhere and go to Torrey Smith or some of these other guys, Zach Ertz or Aguilar, some of these other guys that you've proven can help in the passing game but may not be the building block that Jeffrey is?
If this were week six, I would avoid him like the plague. I would target the other weapons. But this is too crucial a moment to give into the defense. You know, as a defense, the best thing you can possibly do is force a team to not only change its game plan during a game, but to change it ahead of a game. You know, Darrelle Revis, once we all realized just how special he was at his position, in the following years, his numbers were down, and it became pretty clear that his numbers were down not because he wasn't a great player, but because teams were avoiding him like crazy.
Right.
I think that's a great regular season tactic. I hate that in the postseason, especially one game ahead of the Super Bowl, you have to utilize your best weapons. Now, that's, of course, not to say Alshon Jeffrey needs to be your only target. You're not going to throw to him 25 times in this game. But if you avoid him because of the defense, you are giving into their game plan, and you can't do that one game before the Super Bowl.
100% agree. So speaking of defense, you have Mike Zimmer, who's one of the best play callers in the business, and he's calling the defense for Minnesota. You have Doug Peterson, who's one of the best offensive minds in the business. He's calling the plays for Philadelphia on offense. Who do you expect to win that showdown? Do you think Peterson will get more yards and points than Zimmer will give up, or vice versa? Do you think Zimmer will shut down Peterson's offense and win the day, or do you think it'll be more of an even keel? What do you think about that?
I think that Minnesota's defense is going to have a pretty successful time shutting down Philly's offense. But I don't expect this to be a blowout by any means, because I think that Minnesota's offense, you know, Case Keenum's downfield threat aside, is not going to have many big plays and is not going to really bust this thing open and make it a 35-point game for them, you know, like a 35-16, 35-19 game. I just don't see that happening. So I know you didn't ask for a final score, but I'm going to offer it anyway. I think it's topical. I think that you end up with something like Minnesota 20, Philly 17, because I think that Minnesota's defense does a better job against Philly's offense. But at the same time, I don't think Minnesota finds a way to put up a barn-burning amount of points in this one either.
So you agree with the three-point spread, I hear?
Yeah, I do. And again, I guess I'm really technically saying, as you mentioned, I think the Vikings are about a six-point better team in a vacuum. But because of the home field advantage, I'm going to give them the three-point win.
Okay. Well, I said that I would pick the opposite teams of you, and I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to pick the Eagles. I'm going to pick them to win 34-28. And I think this is going to be a barn burner shootout. I think it's going to be very similar to a couple of the games Minnesota played earlier in the year, where they tried to score a little too quick. They let their defense hang out on the field a little too long and hung them out to dry, really. And I think that's going to happen again. I think that this is a game that Philadelphia is going to score very early, and Minnesota is going to be a little rattled. It'll get turned into a shootout, and then by the end of the fourth quarter, it's whoever has the ball last. I think that's going to be the Eagles, and they're going to come march down and score a touchdown to win the game. Now, all of that could be wrong. It could be a field goal affair and a lot of kicking, a lot of running, a lot of three and outs, and Minnesota will win a defensive battle. I'd rather see Philadelphia win a shootout and see Minnesota go home. I don't want to see Minnesota host the first Super Bowl. I don't want to see them win the Super Bowl. I'm not shy about admitting it. and I'm going to pick them to lose by a touchdown to Philadelphia.
You know, I could see it happening. I just am too sold on Minnesota right now. Again, we talked about, is Minnesota going to have the too many emotions coming into this?
Right.
And maybe I'm the one with too many emotions coming into this, because I got caught up in the crowd when it came to Diggs' big play. I got caught up in Keenum, you know, cheering on with the crowd, waiting for that ridiculous two-point conversion, quote-unquote, attempt at the end of the game. I'm sold on them right now. And so you could definitely be right about this, and maybe I'm the one with too many emotions, but I got to stick with that.
I'm just thinking that Philadelphia is going to come in, they're going to feel disrespected, they're going to prove a point, and they're going to put Minnesota on the ropes and knock them out. I hope they do. I don't expect it to happen. I'm just rooting for that to happen. I'm pretty confident Minnesota's going to win this game easily, but I'm hoping that Philadelphia, A, gives them a fight, and B, knocks them out. That would be great for me, but most people probably think that's as unrealistic as it gets at this point, but that's okay. So, all right, so game number one, we're decided on that. You're taking the Vikings, I'm taking the Eagles. We're going to hope to God I'm right, but I have a feeling you're going to be another game ahead of me. Which brings us to the AFC Championship, which is the Jaguars at the Patriots. Vegas has this game at 7.5, favoring New England. It actually started out at 9.5 earlier in the week. It dropped to 8.5 yesterday, and today it's down to 7.5. So they're really getting close to calling this a field goal game, which is what it seems like it could be, because we know that Jacksonville defense is brutal. And we know New England can put up points on anybody, and that Belichick and Brady and McDaniels will figure out how to do it. But I think this defense is legitimate. I think this is going to be reminiscent of the Seahawks playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We're going to see a defensive struggle early. We're going to see the Jaguars pull ahead. And I think that by the end of the game, the Jaguars will have a chance to win it. And we'll get into that more. But it's going to be a cold game. The weather on kickoff is supposed to be about freezing. And we know that weather in Massachusetts can get ugly fast. So they're not expecting precipitation, but it's supposed to be a very cold day and evening. So this game kicking off around noon on Sunday, by the time it ends, it's going to be about 3-4 o'clock in the East Coast. It's going to be about 7 or 8 o'clock on the East Coast. It's going to be about 3 o'clock here, 3 or 4. So how much do you expect that to impact the Jaguars? I mean, cold weather, they experienced it last week in Pittsburgh, but they played a heck of a game, then almost gave the game back, then took it home anyway. Before we get into the details, who do you like in this game? What's your gut tell you who's going to win this game?
Casey, I'm going hashtag, okay, maybe not Blake Bortles, but I'm going hashtag Jaguars on this one.
All right.
I'm team Jacksonville here. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit why, but just know that I am not comfortable with it, but I'm going with it. I'm going with the dogs here.
All right. Well, you know, if we're saying that playoff football, 3 points is really 0 points, that means that in this case, that 7.5 means it's about a field goal, maybe a little more. So you think that they can pick up that many points on this New England, who has, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, still somehow in his prime. He's still putting up numbers like he did 10 years ago. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know how. I don't want to know how. It's probably something to do with Foreverware, and if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's a really creepy episode of a show that you probably don't want to watch, but it's out there. I'm curious how Jacksonville's going to pull this off. I'm confident they can. I just don't know how they're going to do it.
If we hadn't just watched them put up, what was it, 45 points, 46 points?
45.
If we hadn't,
but they also gave up 42. That's the thing. That's the takeaway.
You're right. But, you know, maybe this comes back to me being too emotional and being too emotionally invested in this, because I don't necessarily have a an anti-bias against the Patriots. I know a lot of people do. In fact, if anything, I'd say I've had more of an anti-bias against Jacksonville for a long time because I have never been hashtag Team Blake Bortles.
No one I has.
Can't even, no, I was going to say I can't imagine I'm the only one to say that. But the thing is, I am riding the wave right now. And I mean, you mentioned the weather. That could end up playing a big factor just because Jacksonville plays in an arena where they literally have a jacuzzi and a swimming pool up there for those who don't really care about the game.
Which is most of them, most seasons.
But the thing is, the weather, I feel like, is mostly going to impact the passing game, and I never would have expected this Jacksonville passing game to do much against New England anyway. I know that if you want to try to find an Achilles heel for these Patriots, it's their pass defense. So, you know, maybe I'm not approaching this the right way, but all I'm getting at is that I don't think Bortles was ever going to do much damage in that area anyway. So I'm not too worried about the weather. And I feel like Jacksonville is the perfect storm of an upset right now. And that's what I have to go with in my gut.
Well, and they didn't get a shot at the Patriots in the regular season, so we don't have any regular season stuff to go off here. It's just like the other game. It's a total new match for these two teams. They didn't face each other in the last calendar year. So you don't know what to expect because you haven't seen them play each other, but you've seen Jacksonville play Pittsburgh twice, and they beat Pittsburgh both times, and both times they had multiple turnovers, resulting in what should have been a lopsided win both times. It was only lopsided the first time. But Pittsburgh's played New England, and, you know, you can't really get in the weeds on the like opponents, but if we just take a look at Pittsburgh and New England, who were the, you know, most people thought the best two teams in the AFC, if not the whole league, Pittsburgh almost beat New England, should have probably beaten New England, and here we have Jacksonville, who has beaten Pittsburgh twice. There's not really any argument to be had that Pittsburgh should have won either of those games. And now you have Jacksonville coming to town to take on Tom Brady. This looks like one of the famous Giants-Patriots Super Bowls. I think this is a game, or even the Seattle-New England Super Bowl, I think this is a game that Jacksonville can win. I think they have the talent up front on defense to harass Tom Brady. They have the best secondary in the league. It's not even close. And they have all the tools on offense to run out the clock and run the ball. I don't know that New England has the firepower and offense to put up enough points to make Jacksonville have to go to a passing attack. I think Jacksonville can slow it down by running Leonard Fournette and running Chris Ivory and running T.J. Yeldon, whoever they have backing up Fournette, and making Blake Bortles make high percentage throws, and then that's it, you know, and then let your defense do the rest. I think that can be a recipe for success against New England.
I think you're right. And, you know, I do worry that Jacksonville may be overconfident, more so than Minnesota. I think Minnesota has their eyes on a potential Super Bowl at home, and I think that that's dangerous. But I think that they are more grounded and more level than Jacksonville is. So Jacksonville could very well be, like I said, confident to a fault. But I also think that Jacksonville is one of those teams that wears its emotions on its sleeve, and it plays better because of it. You know, the conversation going into this game is all about really one thing: Tom Brady's throwing hand. That's all anybody wants to talk about right now, because he's sat out practices, and is he going to be 100%? You know, one thing we need to get out of the way right away is that he's never going to sit this game. I don't care if his hand is halfway hanging off of his wrist. He's going to play in this game. But the question is, how healthy is he? Well, to me, that's what everybody's talking about, is how healthy is he. To me, it's not even a matter of how healthy he is. It's a matter of how confident the Jags are because of that injury. To me, if Jacksonville feels they have an edge because of injury, they have an edge. And it has nothing to do with how injured Tom Brady actually is. They could get a false report that says Tom Brady has a torn ACL. And then they could show up the next day and find out that that's false. But because they have jacked themselves up so much to believe that they're the favorites, this is one of the only teams in the entire league that I believe can become the favorites just by wanting to be the favorites.
I think there's definitely something to that, that your attitude is something you design. And I think they're going to come in thinking that they can win no matter what they're thrown at. This is a team that's been harassed and bullied for years and years, and this year they finally had all three facets of the game working in their favor. They've proven that. They've shown up against the best opponents that you can ask for, and they've muscled them around and beaten them up and spit them out. And I think that they're going to try to do that against New England. Now, New England is not a team that is known for being, you know, chewed up and spit out, but they really struggled against Tom Coughlin's New York teams in the Super Bowl in 2007 and 2011. Tom Coughlin happens to be the president of operations for this team. He is overseeing everything and everyone. This has absolutely got his blueprint written all over. There's a reason they weren't this good last year. It wasn't just the arrival of Leonard Fournette or some other key players. It was the system in place. And, you know, you have Doug Marrone, who's a new head coach. You have Todd Wash, who's a great defensive mind. You know, last year they had Gus Bradley at head coach, and it just wasn't getting the job done. You change the regime out, and this is what happens. You all of a sudden have Blake Bortles, who's going to be one game away from his first Super Bowl. I don't think anyone would have ever had said that last year, any year prior that he's been in the league. I don't care who you said was going to be on the team with him. But I think that this is a team that has the ferociousness and tenacity and the immortal will to win that you need to beat a team like New England. No matter how healthy or not healthy Tom Brady is, they still have a chance in this one.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, at least I was talking about starting a campaign for Eli Manning to Jacksonville.
Right.
And at the time, it made sense. Now,
we're not out of the woods there yet.
Well, we're definitely not. But the one thing that I would say goes back to your point about sort of a fresh start and a culture change, because I think that nothing dramatically has changed about Blake Bortles in the last few weeks. He is still who he is. But I think we're starting to realize that he is a piece that fits that team, whether you want to go as far as to say he's an integral part of their culture or an integral part of their game plan. I'm not ready to quite go that far, which is why I think we're not completely out of the woods, as you said. But I do think that when you establish a team that is going on a solid run, borderline improbable if they do pull off this upset, as I'm projecting, then breaking up really any piece of that culture can have drastic effects in the wrong direction. So right. I think you hit it on the head, which is that they ended up with a fresh start. Maybe it took some people longer to realize how legit they were, but now they're here, and a lot of that really just does have to do with the change of attitude. And like I said, I'm all in on that particular attitude.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. And I think the Jags have a really good chance to win this one. I'm not sure they do win it because we know how good Brady and Belichick are in the playoffs, but we've seen them lose the AFC Championship game a few times. You know, their Super Bowl record is pretty great, but their AFC Championship record isn't quite as strong. And they've definitely struggled against superior defenses. So we'll see what happens in this one. You know, the 2015 Broncos didn't have one of the best offenses in the game, but they had a decent offense. I mean, it doesn't hurt that you have Peyton Manning, but it was their defense that won that game. Brady should have had another shot at the Super Bowl, but Denver kept him out. Jacksonville is built very much the same way, and we'll see what they can do. Blake Bortles, to quote the great Keegan-Michael Key, are we going to see good Balake or bad Balake?
Personally, I'd rather see, and I know you would too, a little Aaron Rodgers at this
yeah,
point in the season.
I would.
But, you know, if Balake is our only option in the Key and Peele.
He's the only one present. He's the only one present, so that's what we got to go with.
I'm going to say better than expected Balake.
Okay.
I am not going to say we're going to see a good Balake. But I think that people just kind of assume he's going to wet the bed here against, you know, an all-time team or an all-time dynasty franchise.
Right.
But I think that he will be consistent enough to not blow the game. I think that's kind of my go-to here today.
I think that's actually their game plan.
Quarterbacks. But I think that says a lot about the class of quarterbacks that's going up against Tom Brady right now. It's literally Brady versus the world,
right?
When it comes to experience versus no experience. And so I think that when it comes to these three other quarterbacks, the goal is literally not to lose the game. And I think Case Keenum gets away with that. I think Blake Bortles gets away with that. I don't think Nick Foles gets away with that, which is why I've picked my two winners.
Well, Leonard Fournette is a very big part of this game. We know that Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator of the Patriots, like to take away your best weapon. I would think that Leonard Fournette would be that guy, because if they take him away, Bortles all of a sudden has to pass a lot more, which plays in the Patriots' hands, not the Jaguars' hands. Do you think New England has the power up front to do that, or are they going to struggle to shut down such a ferocious runner? I mean, he's a huge human being. I don't know that they can do that without opening up some guys on the outside, which we definitely don't want, because they've got some speedsters in Dede Westbrook, Marquise Lee, and Allen Hurns. And Mercedes Lewis isn't great. I mean, he's an average tight end, but he can get open downfield and hurt you. Do you think they stack the box and make Jacksonville prove that they can beat them through the air? Or what do you think the defensive strategy is going to be?
Absolutely, I think they do. I think that New Orleans forces that passing game by maybe not completely shutting down Fournette, but by really limiting his options. I think that they completely fill the box. I think that Fournette comes out, has a very slow first half. I mean, maybe we're even talking, I mean, I hate to put specific numbers on things because it's impossible to project, but I could see him having a sub 30 yard first half, a 24, 25 yard first half, because New England is just going to say, hey, Jacksonville, if you're going to beat us, it's going to be with guys like Mercedes Lewis and with Blake Bortles playing above what anybody would expect.
See that, Gene? He corrected himself. I don't know why we even have you on staff. You're just shaking your head relentlessly. Bryant corrected himself, so calm down over there. Yeah. We'll put you on the show eventually if you can, have an inside voice, whatever.
Sorry, Gene, didn't mean to steal your job.
I don't know what his job is. I didn't hire him. I don't know if you hired him. I'm worried that no one hired him and he's just kind of squatting here. But, that cot upstairs did not show up on its own. So I'm a little worried. But anyway, I do think that Jacksonville can win this. But, I told you I'm going to pick opposite of you. So I'm going to pick New England. I think they cover the spread. I think they win by at least 7 to 10 points. I'm going to put them up by 14. I'm going to say they win by 2 touchdowns. I think this is a game that Jacksonville will have in hand early, but I think that they'll get in trouble. Bortles will throw a couple costly picks. Brady will turn those into touchdowns. That'll turn into a victory, and we can wave goodbye to this whole mess that could have been Blake Bortles in the Super Bowl, which I don't care what team you root for. You don't want to see that, especially if he has to throw on Minnesota if they win. I don't, Blake Bortles versus Minnesota in the Super Bowl in Minnesota, I don't think any of us can stomach that. So be careful what you wish for, Bryant.
I mean, I don't work for the ratings network, so I'm good with it.
Well, if they find out you influence this, they may not come calling. So there's something to consider there.
Hey, if I truly influence this, I need to get into the sports gambling game.
That's true. Well, after this, they might let you. I mean, you're following their rules and their odds, and so they're probably sitting there going, there's a guy that has a good head on his shoulders. We'll see what we can do about that. So getting into some of the matchups a little bit more, on the defensive side, Jacksonville has one of the best pairs of corners in the league. Do you think that they have the ability to shut down Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan and make Tom Brady beat them? I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. And make Tom Brady beat them with Rob Gronkowski? That's so hard to do. But it will kind of force his hand and make him have to go to him if they can shut down the players on the outside. But then on the flip side, do you see Danny Amendola or Deion Lewis or James White being a factor here and helping open up the passing game so that if they do get shut down on the outside, they can open up some stuff down the middle or over the middle or doing some deep routes?
I'm kind of with you here in that it sounds strange to say, but I do think that Jacksonville will make them use Gronkowski, which I completely agree is a bizarre thing to say.
Right.
And it's just, it sounds weird. It tastes weird coming off the tongue. But I really think that this has to be a 2-touchdown game for Gronk. And by that, I mean, he needs to catch 2 touchdowns.
Right.
I think that they need 2 touchdowns to win this game, because I think that Cooks has the potential to get loose deep. But Jacksonville, as we've seen throughout the year, is, you know, very apt at recovering after players get loose.
Right.
And so I really think it comes down to, can New England establish a go-to on the outside? Because they're going to have a go-to with Gronk. You know, we say it almost tongue-in-cheek that they're going to have to make them beat them with Gronk, because they're going to have that go-to throughout the game. But I think that it really will come down to, can they establish another go-to in a Chris Hogan, in a Brandon Cooks, in one of those guys?
Yeah, it's maybe the most bizarre sports-related thing I've ever said out loud is, you know, can the Patriots win going to Rob Gronkowski? But I think that's what's going to have to happen. And then, you know, you have Josh McDaniels, who's obviously this extremely talented offensive mind calling the plays for New England, and you had Todd Wash calling them for Jacksonville on the defensive side. I don't really think too much of Jacksonville's offense, nor do I think too much of New England's defense. So I think those are the two facets that are going to have to succeed for either side if that team is going to win. And at the end of the day, I think New England wins this game. I'm kind of rooting for Jacksonville because I love when an upset happens, but I also don't want to see Minnesota play Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. So I guess I don't know what I want to have happen, but since I want to beat you head to head, I guess I want New England to win. So that's who I'm going with. New England wins 24-10.
I'm going to make one more claim that is even more risky than saying Jacksonville wins this game. I think this game goes down as the Tom Brady interception game.
Oh.
I think Tom Brady goes for 3 or 4 picks in this game, and Jacksonville wins 26-20 or 26-23. I think this game turns everything we know on its head.
Well, and if you go back and look at the 07 Super Bowl, the 2011 Super Bowl, and the 2014 Super Bowl, I think you'll be surprised how much Tom Brady struggled, even though he won one of them and lost the other two. Those are not his best games as a athlete in the postseason. I would go back and watch those. I think that those are performances you're going to see reminiscent of the 2015 Super Bowl is the one I meant to say.
Yeah.
2014, I believe, maybe it was 2013, but 2014, I believe he actually lost to the Jets in the playoffs, and it was, you know, they had like a 14-2 season. He was coming off an MVP win, and then he faced the Jets and Rex Ryan in the playoffs and was just so thrown off by their zone defense that he didn't know what to do. They couldn't score. And it just threw his whole – it's like you said earlier that sometimes going into a game expecting one thing and getting another, it just throws your whole thing off and you don't know what to do and you don't really recover in a timely manner. Maybe that's what they need to do, is something like that. And I'm sure that those of you like Gene, who's shaking his head, I know I already got the date wrong, Gene. I don't know what year it was. I just know that he played the Jets. So you can go do whatever you need to do. But it's just, it's interesting to me that that worked when they had played the Jets twice that season and beat them both times. I'm curious if Jacksonville can pull off something similar, because we know they're so great at man coverage. I wonder how bizarre it would be if they suddenly threw zone coverage at Tom Brady just to see what happened.
It's an interesting idea. I go back to my thought that you stick with your bread and butter, your tried and true at this time in the season. But I think that for short sets and for one-off occasions, I think it's brilliant. Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't overhaul the entire strategy that got you here, but I think that it makes a ton of sense to throw out a look, maybe in not the most crucial situation, but in a second or third down in the second quarter, or throughout the second and third quarter, I think it makes complete sense.
Yeah, and you know, you never know, we might get a helmet catch. You know, the New England is known for having just bizarre plays happen in the Super Bowl, but since this game will have the feel of the Super Bowl, I wonder if they're going to have one of these bizarre catches happen for them or against them. You know, have the Edelman catch in the Super Bowl last year. You have the Jermaine Kearse catch in the 2015 or 2014 Super Bowl, I mean. And then you also have the David Tyree catch in the 2007 Super Bowl and the Mario Manningham catch in the 2011 Super Bowl. If you're not familiar all those, I would make sure you go back and watch them because they are ridiculous.
Knowing Jacksonville, though, this game is going to go down as the helmet interception game. I'm calling it right now. This game goes down as the Tom Brady interception game, but more specifically, the helmet interception game.
Is there a way, if I get that right,
I absolutely need to work for Vegas.
Absolutely. Is there a way for him to catch his own interception and just double up on Marcus Mariota? I don't know how that would work, but I'm curious to see them pull it off.
Mid-play, he gets traded to Jacksonville, catches the ball.
Okay. All right, well, we're at the 45-minute mark, so we are out of time. But, Brian, I want to thank you so much for coming on again. So just to recap, you're taking the Vikings and the Jaguars, and I'm taking the Eagles and the Patriots, and may the best man win. But, you know, whatever happens, we're going to cover the Super Bowl and talk this out. Even if there's no chance I can win our head-to-head matchup, I still want to talk sports with you. So don't think that by winning you're not on the show anymore. We know that contract is honored. You know, even though it's only 1 year for six figures, I think that that's pretty hefty. So we expect you back on in a couple weeks.
That is a fair and gentleman approach. And my only response is, if I lose, I'm taking the offer from Dan Patrick.
Well, good luck on that. I hear he's got an opening in the back row. So good luck to you. I don't know how fun that will be, but, you know, there's always room for another McLovin. And with that, we'll say goodnight. Thank you all for checking in and for listening to our take on sports. And hopefully we got something right. We never know what it's going to be until we watch the games. But hopefully we got a couple things right. And hopefully you were entertained. That's what we're here for. So thank you again. This has been Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm Casey Mabbitt. He's Bryant Knox. We're signing off. You stay classy, Oregon.